Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition, and it is Thursday. It is the 30th day of March 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and of course I'm your host as usual on the French Connection. We Eric and I, when I use the we've been putting out a lot of new information out onto the net, and you know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is when we latch ourselves onto a story, and I'll give you a couple of examples of it. But this first one here is this young man that was murdered up in Minnesota. I'm sorry. There was some suspicious stuff around this. I mean, first of all, Clemson kid heads up to a university campus where Mr. Fetzer is. He's very involved in the truth movement, finds out maybe that the professor he thought was being honest about all these things is not. Her name was Professor Wood down in Clemson. He visits with his mom and his sister, and all of a sudden, this guy, his mom is robbed, gives up the bag, doesn't fight over it, says, here, take it. And the assailants turn and shoot the son in the head twice, without provocation, according to the several reports that I've looked at. This was an assassination. This was not a robbery. People don't commit murders when you give your handbag up. This was a hit, an assassination. Now, the question has to be asked, why would someone assassinate a young man like this? Well, maybe to put it out on the websites, which they did right after, on the websites all around this Scholars for Truth website stuff, they put out that, oh, he probably died because he was asking too many questions about 9/11, la, la, la. Well, what's the message there, ladies and gentlemen? Don't ask questions about 9/11 if you're a college student or get killed, like our good friend. Yep. Is that far-fetched? I don't think so. I don't think it's far-fetched at all. In fact, I think it's something that would be a major first step in the investigation, a major first step. In fact, it's the best lead that I can see based upon what the evidence shows. Now, of course, they are not releasing details, the police department, not releasing them. And there were some questions about, you know, the writing of the articles and stuff, and I got to be honest with you guys, Eric and I share the writing responsibilities, and how does that work? So you guys can know. We sit on the phone and we talk about what we're going to put in it, what we're going to write, and most of the formatting and the decision making for what to write, subject matter, comes from my side. And a lot of the phraseology does, a lot of the wording, a lot of the questions that are asked come from me. Now, Eric, because he has a capacity to type quite quickly, and I'm a two-finger typist, tends to write the things. And there's a second reason why I like Eric, putting the questions down himself. He has a natural Socratic method about asking questions. Now, when I write stuff, they seem to be a little pedantic and a little bit academic. And they're a lot more boring, a lot less interesting to read. Maybe just as packed with information, but less enjoyable to sit through and read. And so, you know, we try to take advantage of Eric's natural talent to be a Socratic questioner, and we work together on these things. Sometimes he puts in more than half, sometimes I do. It's fallen a little bit on some of the funnier ones. I've done a little bit more of the stupid stuff, especially in the past with the Olsen thing, and we were 50-50 on that bovine gas thing, which was really out of control. But that's the way it goes. Now, if Eric writes an entire story himself, that's fine, too. It doesn't really matter who writes the stories fully or not fully or combined or not combined. What is important is that I trust the guy to do good work. Sometimes we are grasping and grasping for straws. Sometimes we're right into the meat of the issue. But always we're provoking questions, and that's the idea here. I mean, look, we don't have a big staff. We don't have $1 million to go out and do big investigations. What we have to do is go by what we find on the net and use our logic, use our brains, use our questioning. Now, this is a method that has been tested, tried and true, because every time we've come up with something, we have generally been right on the money. A few mistakes. Recent one that I want to maybe bring up here, and it doesn't necessarily mean we're wrong, but several of my listeners wrote to me saying that the Estevez family was probably a Murano Jew. Now, this came from three separate sources to me. Did they have hard evidence? No, it was circumstantial, and I used it as a circumstantial case because whether they're Murano Jews or not is not terribly important, except that there is a pattern being shown. Somebody got in touch with me and said that they went to high school with this person, and they knew for a fact that Martin Sheen was a Catholic. Now, see, there's a problem here, because obviously most people don't know what Murano Jews are. They are Jewish people who pretend to be Catholic but are actually Jewish. This comes from the Spanish Inquisition era. And so the fact that he goes to a Christian church or a Catholic church does not necessarily mean that he is not, that he is a Catholic. And that's, so you need to do your history reading. There was this same pattern was done in Turkey. The same pattern has been done throughout history. That does not necessarily mean the Estevez family was doing that. What it does mean is that by definition, the Muranos were clandestine crypto Jews. That's what it means. So, anyway, not a mea culpa, just a defining of terms. You know, because a lot of Jewish people that are listening to this programming, Brian and many others out there, Salon is listening, and we had a couple of new ones today. In fact, I got a couple of new emails from people. John, nice to have you on board, my friend. Their community has been just destroyed by these people. I mean, I often wonder how many of the 4 million Israelis living over there even know what this government and successive governments have done to them. And chances are they suspect it, but they may not be sure. Similar to how an American's been treated in America. I mean, so many people say, well, something isn't right here, but they just don't get the right information and they never put the story together. Why? Because they're brainwashed, because they're too busy, because they're too stupid. Who knows? Well, there's a lot of reasons why people don't connect the dots. And then what ends up happening is they become victims, of course. They're victimized, and they become victimizers, like the Americans are doing to the Iraqis right now, like the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians, like the, allowing in their name, especially, the Jewish bankers to go around the world and destroy, literally destroy countries and freedom, and just start wars, maiming, killing, plundering. You know, this has gone on for a century now in high gear. And we have another round of it coming up. Reading all over the newspapers about the American economy now really going into a slump, really going into a nosedive. Why? Because they just got done printing $2 trillion more dollars. That's why they got rid of M3, which was the aggregate figure for all of the economy's money system. In other words, they count everything, including cash receipts, tax receipts, value, borrowed money, all of it. They go through the whole thing, and they give you how much money in aggregate is in circulation in the economy. Well, they took that figure away. Why? Because they don't want people to know that they've just infused between 17 and 20% cash into the economy, which will mean, ladies and gentlemen, that inflation will take off. The yield curve will get even steeper, and that means that we will be seeing a financial crisis on the immediate horizon. And lots of very learned, very well-educated people are beginning to come to these conclusions along with me. Gold's reaching 26-year highs today. Interesting that comes in parallel with these declarations of, actually the Comptroller General just came out and said, boy, do we have a crap storm on the horizon. It's kind of like, you know, the crap and the fan are coming together in one place, and boy, are we going to have an explosion. As for other things, growing this message, it's all about you. This is grassroots. We're not an enterprise. I heard that chump, Alex Jones for a minute today, because I like to find out just how much crap he is spreading around. And, of course, he's spewing more goo over there on his nonsense network. And he says he's got a staff of 10. Staff of 10. Boy, he must have to... I don't know what he has to do with that. Maybe he has to sell out some Christian families in the Texas area to get that kind of money to pay them. I don't know what he does. Or maybe he's just getting paid by his handlers. Who knows? But the bottom line is that he is slowly but surely getting out. And interestingly, he's been has been referring to Jews lately. Interesting. Trying to catch up, trying to be covered, trying to cover his behind. So he's starting to mention Jewish people and Jewish corruption, and so he mentions Abramoff today. Jack Abramoff being a real crook and extorting money and la la la. But what he doesn't say, and what everyone else in this movement knows if they've been around it for a while, Abramoff was sending Muhammad Atta on booze cruises. Yep. The employees on the boats served him. Now, that's part of the public record. Did Mr. Jones mention that? No, per. No, he didn't. Did he mention that Mr. Abramoff had 17 meetings with George Bush? No, he didn't mention that. Did he mention that Abramoff is a very high-level insider in the Israeli lobby in the United States? Did he mention that? No, 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 no. Say his connections to APEC go way back? No. Did he mention that APEC is going to have a whitewash job done on the spying case that they've got going on? Nope, didn't mention it. He won't mention it, and if he does, he usually mentions it and then makes an excuse for it right away. You can't see these things when you look at this guy. I mean, come on, it's so consistent. He does it every time, and he's been doing it consistently since I listened to this guy. And I tell you, how the rest of you people who do follow this guy and believe him can do that, well, maybe we don't want you on our side if you're that thick in the head. Because, face it, if you know that this guy's doing this, and then you listen and you hear it, and you still want to stick with him, boy, oh boy, have you got something wrong with you. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about here today is donations. We get them trickling in. We're not a for-profit organization. I don't take a paycheck from any of this stuff. Basically, it's to help me zero out my expenses. Now, I spend, you know, as much time as I'm able to, given my health situation here, to try and make this stuff happen. And Eric puts his time in as best he can as well. We're not staff of 10 over here, guys. We don't have a staff of any. And there's no pay going out, basically, to cover some small costs. So if you want to give us a little bit of help with that, we like small stuff because this is grassroots. We don't want the big stuff. And if you want to send a large donation, make sure it's anonymous. We don't want large, non-anonymous donations, simply, because I don't want ever to have the sense that I'm beholden to somebody for any reason. We're always going to stick with the facts, and it's never going to be about who we owe favors to. Yeah. So, that's what's happening here on the French Connections rant today. It's not as virulent and aggressive as usual, but that's okay. Neither am I. I'm tired. And we've got a great interview coming up. We are going to have a returning visit from my friend, one of the most honorable men I've ever known. I care about this guy more than you have any idea. His name is Sabah al-Mokhtar. Sabah al-Mokhtar is the president and chairman of the British Lawyers, Arab Lawyers Association. And he is a barrister in Britain, but he's also a clear-speaking, honest truth-teller that has a kindness about him, one of the kindest human beings I've ever known. It's a pleasure to know this man. Oh, by the way, I got a little thing for you. They did this little special on homelessness here in France. This guy got all dressed up as a homeless man for 2 weeks, no money, and dragged around a rucksack with himself there and up and down the streets of Paris trying to eat. And there's a lot of places for these people to eat in Paris. You know, they set up these soup kitchens and Soup Populaire and Resto de Coeur, which is the restaurant of the heart, and they did all this stuff. But these guys went and asked hidden camera into businesses if they could have a scrap of food. And now they looked like they needed it. There were three places that were French-owned that said no. And there were two places that were Arab-owned, and they both said yes. Sit down and have something to eat. Now, both of these men at the time smelled terrible. I mean, stinky. They brought them right into the warm building, sat them down, and brought them a big plate of couscous for free. Now, this is really typical behavior of the Arab community that I've experienced. They are very generous, very kind, and very welcoming. When you go to their home, they're extremely welcoming people, very, very kind. I haven't experienced this this nastiness that the American press seems to portray them as, and the British press. It simply hasn't ever been something I experienced. It's not true. It isn't true. Of course, you knew that already. It was not true. But what is true, ladies and gentlemen, is that we know the facts. We know the truth. We're learning more about these facts every day. And we're also fighting this big fight to take back our world from these horrible, horrible criminal Jews. Now, that is not to say all Jews, ladies and gentlemen, because many, 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 many of our supporters and many people across this world are not partaking in these criminal acts with these horrible people, these Abramoffs and these Ladines and these Crystals and these, Schultzes and Kissingers and all of them. I can go for hours and just name names. Not all them. What I'm saying is that there are rank and file people who go every day, maybe have a small business or go and try to scrape by on a living, and they're Jewish, and they're not part of this. Make sure you look to them as potential helpers and not enemies. You know, when it comes down to pick sides, when all the facts are in the public realm, it will come time for them to stand up and say, Am I American or am I a Jewish person? I mean, sometimes that might end up happening because you cannot back Zionism and still care about America. Zionism is diametrically opposed to what America is. It is bent on destroying our nation. It is bent on destroying our freedoms, our constitutional republic, and all of these wonderful values that we hold dear. And at some point, people may have to be placed in front of a very difficult choice. But the fact is, most of the Jewish community are not even aware of what Zionism really is all about and what they're really doing. And the biggest duped group in the world is the Christian Zionists, with their Scofield Bible and the lies that they've been told and the manipulations they've had to go through. Their leadership is bought and paid for, guys. And they're still walking down this road to ruin. And they're bringing the rest of us with them. 26 million of them. By far the biggest threat to freedom in the world is this Christian Zionism, because it is by their efforts that much of these things have been able to transpire in our country. And they've been lied to. They've been duped. And maybe you can start presenting some of the facts to these folks as well. I know they can be a little hard-headed, but you know something? Every human being is capable of seeing the truth. The truth just smells sweeter than a lie, guys, and you can smell it. You can smell the truth as opposed to a lie. It's a sweeter smell. You know what it is. You can sense it. So just place the truth in front of them. Even if they say they don't believe it, somewhere inside themselves, it'll ring true to them, and they'll start questioning. That's how it gets done. Anyway, Sabah al-Mokhtar after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, stick with us. We have more to come on the French Connection.